Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends, and Happy New Year. This is the new year. It's 2007. It's going to take us a while to get that on the checks, Dave. We're going to be writing 2006 for the next 6 weeks if I follow the pattern I followed up to this point. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Generations. Kevin Swanson here, my side with you. Executive Director for Christian Home Educator, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm father of five, son Daniel in studio with me today, and we want to talk about 2007, what to expect in 2007, some of the goals that we're going to set for the new year. Now, goal setting, it has biblical precedent to it, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the program. But here's what's coming up in the political world. Didn't mention this in any of the previous programs, but we are going to see the Democrats in control of the nation and our state, and a lot of other states, by the way. But I think we can expect a gigantic fight, and therefore, one of your goals had better be to get ready for what to expect from the Democrats. And here's a couple of things I think we can look for in 2007, at least in Colorado, but many of the other states as well across the union. The first of which is the mandatory immunizations, which they have tried year after year. In this state, they failed a number of times. They made a little ground last year. But I think this year they're going to make a lot more ground, folks, with mandatory immunizations, which means that folks that don't want to immunize, and you know, Dave, I've run into people whose children have died because of immunizations, and so of course they're not going to give the rest of their children immunizations, but it's going to force some of these guys underground.
Yeah, I think you're not just needling us here. I think that this is a big push in Colorado, and we are going to see the tyranny of the healthcare system through immunization and other means starting to kind of oppress us a little bit.
But I think we're also going to see mandatory health insurance. That, of course, Massachusetts and Vermont already passed that through their legislatures in the previous years. You're going to see it in Colorado probably, and many of the other states. But it has the potential of squeezing out some of the Christian healthcare systems. You know, like Samaritan. We've advertised Samaritan on this program. We believe in it. We like it. We think it's one of the best solutions, a Christian biblical solution to the healthcare problem today. But the tyrants that are in our state legislatures will probably try to squeeze out any kind of a freedom-based system like the Christian healthcare approaches.
Really, what it amounts to will be a mandatory tax because people don't have their auto insurance, which is mandatory. They're not paying that. Are they going to be able to pay their health insurance, even if it becomes mandatory? No. So we're going to have to actually socialize the whole enchilada.
Sure. Everybody knows the liberal agenda is exactly this direction, my friends. Everybody knows that these liberals, these Democrats in Massachusetts and Vermont and Colorado are really trying hard to make sure that we are all Marxists. They want an equal playing field. They want everybody to have the same benefits, have the same lifestyle. They want communism or Marxism in America. It's socialism, my friends. And this is one step in that direction. Now, typically, liberals are very, very good at making measured steps towards the direction of total government involvement in our lives, and they've been taking these steps for the last 150 years in this nation, and this is yet one more step towards absolute tyranny in the United States of America, mandatory health insurance coming to a state near you. Also, you can expect tightened compulsory attendance laws. They tried that last year. They got a little progress made here in Colorado. They've been making it in a lot of other states across the union. And yes, more compulsory attendance, more tyranny, tyrannizing, especially young boys who are not, probably should not be in school till they're 9 or 10 years of age. Not every boy, but a lot of boys should not even be learning some things until they're 9 or 10 years of age. God has put the principle of individuality in every little child, and yet the box system is enforced by the tyrants in Denver and Washington, D.C., and we're going to see more and more of the box system, and you will find little boys especially ruined by education. Dave, we've done so many programs on how little boys have been ruined by education in the modern age. Boys have been disenfranchised. There have been a war against boys. That was Christina Hoffsummer's book on the topic. We interviewed Christina Hoffsummer's a year or two ago. But, yes, boys will be destroyed. Education will be utterly destroyed by liberals. They've been doing it for the last 20 years. They will continue to do it by more government funding, more of an imposed compulsory box system for every single boy and girl across America. You're going to look at more tyranny. You're going to see more homosexuals wanting more special rights. Right, Dave? More government approval for their decadence, completely assuring the dismantling of the family and the rotting of our civilization. This is the agenda of the homosexuals. They want to destroy our civilization. And in many cases, they even admit it. You're also going to see more government spending, more regulations, more taxes, or at least more debt. May not be more taxes. A lot of Democrats understand if you say more taxes, people don't like that. But they will spend more, and they will go, therefore, into more debt. And the end result will be a hidden taxation. Anyway, it's just more of a deceptive form of taxation. All right, folks. Well, if you don't like this sort of thing, if you like things like, well, righteous laws and liberty, for example, my guess is you're going to have to get to know your legislators' phone numbers and fax numbers and get your fax machines turned on, because if you want to fight for liberty, you're going to have to start the fight right away as the legislatures come back into session in January. Well, in just a moment, we want to talk about 2007, setting goals for 2007. It's time to wake up, time to get a vision. We're going to enforce that vision on this program today. Setting goals for 2007 is next on Generations. Kevin and Dave in studio with you. Back on Generations, Happy New Year. Kevin Swanson here with you, Dave Buhner also in studio. And, you know, folks, we like to set goals because goals are biblical. The Bible talks about how important it is to set goals, and yet a man does devise his way, but God directs his steps. So we still have to acknowledge that God is in control of the direction that we set. But you have the Apostle Paul with a vision to reach the Greek world and then go to Rome and then off to Spain. He also set a goal to put elders in Asia Minor. So you have a lot of examples of biblical guys who set goals. And goals ultimately are an outplaying of a vision that we should have for life. Now, Dave, again and again, we've said on this program, it's important to have a vision for life. We're afraid that a lot of people don't have a vision for life and or have a bad vision for their life. The word says, without a vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. Our vision ultimately ought to be what the word of God sets as our vision, as our goal for life. And the fundamental vision for life is laid out in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So again, folks, vision and goals in life are not neutral. The Bible does say there is a certain vision for life you ought to have. There's an ultimate goal in life. Remember the Franklin Day Planner guys, Dave?
Yes, yes.
They would have a program where they'd walk through your vision for life, and then you break down your goals, and then eventually that would lead to your daily work habits and your daily goals for that day, and then you prioritize the goals for the day. Now, it was not a bad program, but what a lot of people didn't understand was the initial vision for life was really set by your ethical construct and your understanding of who you were and who you were as a creature of God. And the word does say that we are created for a specific purpose, which is to glorify God and to seek his kingdom. So again, the driving force of our lives, the vision for our lives ought to be the kingdom of God. Now, Dave, if somebody does not have a real heart desire to see God's kingdom come, then my guess is they don't have much of a vision for life, and or they may have a vision for just achieving as many materials as possible, and so therefore their goal in life is to achieve a net worth of, you know, $15 million or something like that.
I think that's why it says in the Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end the steps lead to death. I mean, there is a right way that God says is the right way, and it might not seem like the right way, at least to a lot of people.
Folks, we need a vision for life, and that vision really ought to be the kingdom of God. So I guess my question to everybody listening to our program today is this. What are you doing this year to achieve the kingdom of God, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all of your various activities. What are you doing to seek God's kingdom in your academic life? What are you doing to seek God's kingdom in your family life, in your church life, in your relationships? What are you doing to seek God's kingdom in your financial life, your economic life, your business life, your character, your spiritual life? Dave, let's look at these various things. What should be our goal? Well, first of all, in our character, in our spiritual life. Everybody has a spiritual life. Maybe what we ought to do is look at our spiritual life and say, okay, now where are the sins that seem to be besetting us? The Bible, and I think it's Hebrews chapter 10 or 11, talks about the sin that so easily besets us as we run the race. And I would say that's the sin that trips you up. It seems to be slowing you down, hampering your progress in the spiritual race of life. Dave, we got to ask those questions. What are those sins? And if you list that sin, I mean, maybe it's lust, maybe it's anger, maybe it's impatience, maybe it's materialist covetousness. Maybe there is something that's really hampering you. It's hampering your ability to be a good dad in your home or a good mom as you homeschool your kids. What are those sins that are tripping you up? Now, what do you do with those sins, Dave?
Well, you repent of them. You put them to death. But, you know, there's some people out there who won't know what that sin is. They're not aware what that sin is that's going to trip them up. And maybe their goal ought to be to go ask their wife, hey, how is it that I'm offending you? How is it that I'm sinning? Do I exhibit these? Maybe they need to ask their elders. Maybe they need to ask people around them and certainly spend some time in the Word of God. Use it as a mirror to show them what that sin is that trips them up. And when they discover it, they need to put it to death.
And how do you put a sin to death? Well, the first thing you do is you go to the cross of Jesus Christ. You bring that sin to the cross of Jesus Christ. You confess that sin in all of its blood, guts, and gore. You describe it. You're specific with it. No ifs, ands, or buts. No blaming anybody else. This is my sin, God. Please forgive me of this sin and deliver me, save me from this sin. By the way, this is exactly why Jesus came to this earth. The angel told Joseph, you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus came for this purpose. Go to the cross of Christ, receive his forgiveness and his deliverance, his salvation from that sin. And Dave, I think the other thing is you get accountable on that sin. Go to a brother and confess those sins. Is it James that says, confess your trespasses, confess your sins one to another? Doesn't say anything about going to the priest. Says everything about going to a brother or sister in Christ and confessing your sins one to another. So it can be anybody in the church. Just go to them. Get accountable to them. Say, I am going to struggle with sin. I'm going to beat the sin to death this year. Tell your brother what sin you're going to conquer and just go to work on that sin.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes our flesh will come out and it'll kind of conquer our spirit. And it's usually because we're feeding the flesh and not feeding the spirit. In the book of Ephesians, it says, be renewed in your mind. You know, so when we're having problems with that sin, we got to ask ourselves, what's influencing me at the moment? Is it the TV I was watching? Is it a discussion I had with the boss? Have I had enough spiritual food today that my spirit can resist my flesh and gain victory?
What you're saying is starve the big flesh monster to death. Stop feeding the little Shop of Horrors tree. Remember the little plant in Little Shop of Horrors? Stop feeding the thing, for Pete's sake. You know, let's starve this thing to death. And that would be a good place to start. Stop feeding it. So, Dave, give us an example. Let's say a guy has a problem with the sin of, well, let's say lust. How does he stop feeding the lust monster?
Well, he's going to avoid those occasions that will titillate the flesh of him. He's going to avoid those TV programs and maybe even sports shows. Maybe he's going to have to stop watching basketball because he knows the beer commercials tempt him in a certain direction. He may have to avoid for a time certain aisles of the grocery store. He's going to have to get serious about killing this sin. The second thing is, if he's a married man, as he needs to reaffirm that relationship with his wife, he needs to make sure that his marriage is cherished above all else, and he wouldn't dare hurt that beautiful bride.
Let's get into the book of Song of Solomon, is what you're saying. That God's book on good sexual intimacy. Get into that book and get to understand what it means and apply it with your spouse, because that's what God intends you to do. Delight yourself in the wife of your youth and learn to do that. So again, when it comes to sin, my friends, if you're going to go out against a sin, you don't replace something with nothing. You repent of the sinful part of what you're doing sexually, and then start obeying God in the sexual realm. So again, turn from your sin and turn to the things that God requires you to do in those particular areas. All right, we've talked about spiritual goals and character goals. Dave, let's talk about academic goals. I think it's important for guys to expand their knowledge of God's Word, certainly, and certain other things. For example, one of our goals is to learn more about church history this year. We're going to study more about church history. We're already studying about Athanasius. And, you know, we talked about Athanasius being actually, he's a short black guy who lived during the 300s in Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt. And we learned about how it was Athanasius Contra Mundum. He was fighting the Arians, and he was fighting for an Orthodox Christianity, a brave man, a courageous man. So again, we're learning a little bit more about church history. Set some goals, some academic goals for yourself and your children, but expand yourself this year. I'd say at the very minimum, pick at least 2 to 3 really good books, good Christian books, good books written by Christians that could edify you and build you up in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and church history.
I think that's great advice. Somebody once said that who you will be next year is who you are this year, but for the books that you will read. It's how are you going to change your thoughts? If you're going to have a Christian worldview, make sure that the books you're reading are going to build up that Christian worldview. What areas do you want to grow in? Do you want to grow in character and history? I think particularly fathers need to take the lead here. If you want to see your children grow, but you never pick up a book, you're not going to get very far.
Academic goals, character goals, but let's also think about relationship goals, Dave. One of the goals for this program is to renew the concept of biblical truth and a biblical worldview, but also to renew the concept of relationships in the modern world. And how many times we dealt with this, Dave, where we talked about how the modern mechanistic programmic world has sucked us dry of relationships. So I think every family out there ought to at least have some basic goal relating to renewing the concept of relationships. That is, maybe a husband and wife should commit to spending more time together, not just in front of the TV set, but talking together, learning how to encourage each other and edify each other in the Word of God. Or let's spend more time with our children, not just playing video games. I know a lot of families get together around the Xbox now, but let's expand that a little bit more. And let's say, how about a game where you can see each other? You know, you can actually look at each other and talk to each other. That would be good, wouldn't it? You know. So how about a goal to renew relationships? How about a goal to renew relationships in the church? And that's not by getting involved in more programs in the church. Exercise some hospitality. I'd say invite 2 people over. You never invited anybody over to your house ever before. Invite 2 people over in 2007. 2 families, maybe an unsaved family from the neighborhood and somebody from the church. Bring a family over from the church, a family you wanted to get to know a little bit better. Invite them over. Spend some time talking about God's Word, encouraging them in God's Word, singing some hymns and psalms together. Just some suggestions here. Renew relationships in the modern world. Very few people are doing it, but you're gonna find that spiritually this will be a renewing experience for you.
And Kevin, the temptation, especially as a man, is to try and create a program to create relationships. I'm gonna create this little program, I'm gonna schedule it all out, and we're gonna do X, Y, and Z, and you can fail utterly by doing that. You know what? Relationships take time, and they take paying attention, and they take care, and you need to set aside that time. You need to schedule it, commit to the schedule. That's what you need to do.
All right, and you could throw in some economic goals, and you could throw in some business goals. Maybe you want to start a home business or something. Throw in some of that, too. But I think that the real important goals, Dave, are the goals we've been talking about. Expanding your knowledge of the Word of God, a biblical worldview, a view of church history. Begin to learn some good things about what God has been doing in our world, but also establish your spiritual goals, your character goals, establish some relational goals. And let's also say about goals, Dave, that, you know, we set our goals, but ultimately we've got to have faith in God to really accomplish these things. We'll set out to really try to change our own lives, Dave, but without the help of the Spirit of God, it's not going to happen. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, set the goals. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but it's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You're not going to have the will to overcome that sin in your life without God working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Faith is required here, Dave.
Oh, it takes tremendous faith, but that faith will come when that relationship with God is renewed and is deepened, and that maybe needs to be the biggest goal, to walk closer with your God, and you're not going to do that unless you're in His church, and you're reading His Word, and you're praying to Him, you're doing all the things that you know the Christian needs to be doing to have a blessed life. Well, the goal is, do it.
Let's end this program with a quote from James chapter 4. This is one of my favorite statements. And, you know, this is so down to earth, and it applies directly to goal setting. Listen to James 4. You that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. See, we got a guy establishing all his goals. Then he says here, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And Dave, again, as we set our goals, let's remember that God is totally sovereign. A man devises his path, but God directs his steps. God is totally sovereign. That's what the Word of God says. God directs our steps. So let's have faith in God. Let's attend our goals with prayer to God that He, by His sovereign work, would accomplish great things. And let's be sure to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this. So one of my favorite statements, Dave, is if God wills and the creek don't rise, we're going to get these accomplished next year. Folks, you can interact with our program anytime by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. By the way, we have a free news magazine that goes out to anybody who wants it. It's a beautiful four-color news magazine, comes out on a quarterly basis. You can get this news magazine absolutely free by going to kevinswanson.com and clicking on Free News Magazine. There's a good goal for 2007, Dave. Get a free news magazine from Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time. God willing, the creek don't rise, to join us as we lay down a vision for the next generation.